We're looking at impediments to prayer. Now, our children and adults, please turn with me to Psalm 27. Let's read together. Psalm 27, beginning with verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. Thou hast said, seek my face. My heart says to thee, thy face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Turn not thy servant away in anger, thou who hast been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Thus endeth the reading of the Word of God, which we give thanks to God. O God, you and you alone are holy. You have graced us with your love and brought us into your holiness. That bringing in is a journey, not an all and for one death. And when your word is proclaimed, we give to you our open hearts. We take another step in that journey and move us closer to the true holiness of God. We all want to take another step now to your spirit and make it a reality. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. At the age of 6, something had to be done. The matter was just getting worse. So she got help. Years later, when we talked about it, she said it was just one of those things that when I began to speak, the words simply couldn't get going. And it made me anxious. And the more anxious I got, the more the words got blocked. And then she gave me an example. She said, I would say, when are we leaving? Now this sort of blew my mind. Because in the years that I had known her, I had seen her as a very confident, articulate, and eloquent person. So it was just simply hard for me to believe that she at one time dealt with it. And dealt with it with some difficulty. And I doubt in the last 9 years that you have had conversations with my wife that you would ever have thought or imagined that she at one time had to deal with a speaking problem. Speech impediment. It was something that was there that was blocking clear communication between herself and other people. And clear communication is the essence of what makes a relationship quality and meaningful. Impediments to our prayer life. Obstacles in our praying to God that render God unable to answer our prayers. The psalmist had this experience. He had known in days gone by that in his life he had created barriers between himself and God. And these barriers affected his prayer life, and God wasn't able to answer his prayer. And the sense that you get when you read the psalm that we read this morning, Psalm 27, is that he knows that that is happening again, that there are some impediments in his prayer life, that there are some obstacles in his praying to God, and he knows that they must be removed or else his prayer life is going to deteriorate. And if that happens to any significant amount of time, eventually he knew that his whole spiritual life would suffer. What could it have been? What was this impediment, or what were these impediments in his prayer life? What were the obstacles that were preventing the psalmist to believe that God was answering his prayers? What are the impediments in your prayer life and mine?
What are those obstacles?
The same, my hunch is, that he had to deal with are the ones that we deal with. So if we can look at what the obstacles or impediments in our prayer life are, we will somewhere find his. Now there's a bulletin insert this morning that has a study guide of the point and the passages that go together. No person sitting in a pew should ever try to memorize 6 points in a sermon. So I decided to write them out for you. Obstacles to our prayer life. Impediments to God's answers. The first is lack of discipline, or poor prayer habits. Jesus said in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words will abide in you, then you can ask whatever you will and the Father will give it to you. The word abide means to remain. It means to have contact with. It means to be with. It means to stay connected to. You want to know how to kill a marriage? A surefire way to how to kill a marriage is for the husband and wife to quit spending time alone together. That when they're together, there's a television on, or the kids are there, or friends are there, or family members are there, and they never intentionally block out time for themselves together, alone, to nurture one another and to share what their lives, what is happening in their lives and their love for one another. Not spending time alone will kill a marriage. You want to know how to kill a prayer life? Same way. Same way. You see, our relationship with God is basically a relationship of love. And not blocking out that time to be with God disconnects us with Him. We have, through prayer, a relationship with God, and no relationship can survive unless there's time spent alone together. One day a 5-year-old boy kept going to his father one evening as the dad was reading the newspaper, and he would come up behind him and he would rub him on the shoulder or something like that and say, "Daddy, I love you." And the father would say, "Yeah, I love you too, son." And he would pat him and kind of give him those go-away vibes. You know, "Don't bother me any longer" vibes. And the boy kept coming back to him. And finally, the little boy got on the other side of the room and he got a running start and he jumped right in his lap. And he put his arms around him and hugged him and said, "Daddy, I love you and I just got to do something about it." That's what God wants from you and me. He wants us to love Him. He wants us to spend time with Him. He doesn't first want us to ask Him for something. He doesn't want us first to ask Him to do something for us, to help us out, and He certainly doesn't want us first to try to use Him. He first wants us to just love Him. And if there is going to be any love in any relationship, there must be time alone. And therefore, Jesus said, you must abide with me. Abide with the Father if your prayers are going to be answered. Second impediment is that we do not trust the unexpected. Isaiah 55:8, God says there, "My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts." We too often expect God to answer our prayers according to the possibilities that we see. We see maybe 2, 3, or 4 options for God, and we pounce paint the boundaries, to keep those options there, and we expect God to answer our prayer in one of the ways that we see possible. But God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I have a mind of my own. God's mind is light years times light years, far greater than ours. That's why I say God's middle name is Surprise. His middle name is Surprise. He wants to surprise us in our prayer. He wants to come in ways that we do not expect. And He will if we look for Him. In 1985, I hurt my back playing basketball. Some of you have heard me tell you. I played Sturban with that. I said, I can work through this. No problem, it'll go away. I'm big, I'm bad, I'm strong, I'm macho. And went on for a year and a half. It got worse. Finally, it got to the point that I couldn't walk or stand for more than 20 minutes without pain. Some of you say, now I remember that Sunday morning, he just kind of said, glad to see you at the end of the sermon when he'd been preaching, glad you're here. No. The amazing thing was, it never bothered me when I was preaching and standing front door. But I finally decided to do something about it. I went to see two neurosurgeons. They said, basically, live with it. I went to see an orthopedic surgeon who said, well, I think you have a collapsed vertebrae on top of a nerve, and it's pinching that nerve, and I want to go in there and jack that vertebrae up. Then I'll take the piece of bone from somewhere else in the body and fuse it together. And I thought, that may be what you want to do, but that's not what we're going to do. Because I got a mind of my own, too, and I've got to hurt a lot worse before you do something like that to me, Jack. Then one day I was sitting in my wife's office at Dad's hospital waiting for her to come meet me, and there was a little newsletter around the medical center bulletin type thing. And they had an article on a new service that they were offering, an outpatient physical therapy department. And just killing time, I began to read it. In there they had a guy who was trained in the latest up-to-date technology and technique, how to deal with these kinds of problems, and it indicated in there he dealt in specific ways and was a specialist with back problems. I read that and put it down. And then there was a little light that kind of flashed on in my mind and said, you need to read that again. So I read it one more time, and the light stayed there, and it gave the phone number, so I picked up the phone and called him. And I spelled out my problem. He said, yeah, I've heard that a number of times. I'm familiar with those times of symptoms. I went to see him, and 4 months later, I was able to stand and walk as long as I wanted to. Now, and have been for a number of years, I run 3 miles a day, 3 or 4 times a week, and play basketball again. Why? Because God surprised me. He came in a way that I never even dreamed was possible. I didn't know what physical therapists did outside of help stroke victims walk again. But He surprised me. He came in a very unexpected way. And He will answer our prayers very often if we look, if we listen, if we are sensitive to His unexpected coming. Third impediment is that our request sometimes opposes the will of God. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will give it to us. Jesus modeled this for us in the Garden of Gethsemane when He knew the cross and its torture was just hours away. And when He thought about that, He was terrorized with fear. And He said 3 times to the Father, God, I don't want to go to the cross. Is there another way? If there is another way, then please allow me to take it. But remove the cup of torture on the cross away from me. Please, I beg you. Each time He prayed that prayer, He always concluded it by saying, but more than I want to avoid the cup of suffering of the cross, I want to do your will.
Oh, Father, I pray above anything, may your will be done.
You see, Jesus knew that God could see the bigger picture. He knew that God could look down the road in the future and that God would know what was best for Jesus and the whole world. And you and I must trust the same belief. You and I must say to God, Father, I have asked. I have told you what my heart's desire is. I have told you what I want. But I know, Father, that you love me with a profound love. And I know that you can peer down the road into the future. And that you only want goodness and mercy to follow me all the days of my life. Well, I pray, Father, not what I ask for first. I pray that your will be done. Your will be done. The fourth obstacle or impediment that we sometimes, according to James 4:3, pray with selfish motives. He says, you ask and you receive not because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend it on your passions. Greed is reaching unbelievable levels in our society today. I am never cease to be amazed at how you see it go up to another level. The number one draft choice for the Charlotte Hornets, NBA professional basketball team, recently asked to sign a contract that would give him $37 million over 10 years to play basketball. $37 million. The United States has 5% of the world's population. But yet we have 66% of the world's lawyers. Why? Because we're so greedy that we'll sue at the drop of our hat. And that's not an indictment against all lawyers, Dan, I promise you that. Lawyers are like preachers, some good ones and some bad ones. Some of the bad ones get some of the good ones and bad names. But you know it's there. Look at me wrong and I'll sue you. Stephen Ross is the CEO of Time Water Company. He recently laid off 650 of his workers. Yet his salary this year will be $700 million. He could have paid the salaries of those 650 employees and taken care of their families for years out of his 1 year salary and still had hundreds and hundreds of million dollars left. But he justified his salary by saying, I have made brilliant strategic moves for this company this year. Where's the justice? Where's the sense of right, wrong, fairness? It's overshadowed by greed. And that greed affects all. Now, James is not saying it's wrong for us to pray and ask God for the basics of life. It's not wrong to ask God for a home, a car. It's not wrong to ask God about our employment or to pray for a promotion. It's not wrong to ask that you have the finances to educate your kids, to have a decent, comfortable retirement. He's not saying that. But when we have the basics and some of the comforts of life and have this inward expectation that we should somehow have the extras and the luxuries of life, then when we begin to expect that, what happens is the luxuries in our eyes have become the essential, and we begin unconsciously to expect God to give us luxuries. And we feel cheated if we don't have it. And we expect more, more, more from God. Because the world's greed has begun to affect us. The Lord God Almighty will not answer the prayer of a greedy heart. fifth impediment, poor husband-wife relationship, 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, husbands, live considerately with your wives in order that your prayers not be hindered. Now, this is an obscure passage. Basically, it has been ignored. Rarely has it been focused on. But there is a direct correlation between our relationship with a husband or wife and our prayer life with God. The direct correlation. You say, how can that be, Bill? It's very simple. As we said earlier, our prayer life with God, first and foremost, is a love relationship with Him, where we love Him and we allow His love to permeate our life and change us. And if His love changes us and enters our body, then we're to live out His love in all of our relationships on this earth. And our number one earth relationship is our relationship with our husband or our wife. And if that love isn't happening, if there is constant conflict, if there is constant bickering, if there's unresolved issues that go on and on, if there is unkindness and indifference in our husband-wife relationship, if it's not happening lovingly there, then it affects our prayer life with God. It becomes an impediment with God.
Sixth obstacle or impediment is that there is unforgiveness in our heart. Psalm 66:18. The psalmist said, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened to me. Outside of Abraham Lincoln, my greatest Civil War hero is Robert E. Lee. He had a rare combination of gifts and abilities. He was a strong, commanding leader. A leader whom his men feared respectfully, and they followed him. And yet, on the other hand, he was also humble and compassionate. And his men knew he loved them. After Lee made a fatal, tragic, tactical error at the Battle of Gettysburg, thousands of his men were killed and thousands more were wounded. When the battle was over and his battered troops devastatedly came back to camp, Lee sat on his horse, named the Traveler. And as they walked by him, he said to them, this was all my fault. This was all my fault. It takes a strong man or woman to be able to admit they were wrong. But Lee could do that. Once when he was in a group, someone asked him the opinion of another Confederate officer who had been critical of Lee and had said some very unkind things about him. Lee responded with kind comments and generous things to say about this Confederate officer. Someone in the circle said to him, I suppose, General Lee, that you do not know what this man has said about you. Lee answered, I do know. But I was asked his opinion. I was asked my opinion of him, not his opinion of me. I am convinced that the secret of Robert E. Lee's great leadership, his ability to lead his men in battle and to do so with compassion and strength, his ability, the strength he had to deal with the enormity of death that was around him, I am convinced
that that came from his relationship with God, and that the key to his relationship with God was his prayer life, and that one of the most important keys to his prayer life was he has a forgiving heart. Have you been wondering why your relationship with God has felt distant and cold lately? Could it be that there is unforgiveness in your heart? Speech impediments. They're difficult to overcome. It takes time. They cannot be overcome without you asking for help. Prayer impediments. They too are difficult to overcome. They can never be overcome without asking God for help. What about your prayer life? Where are the impediments in your prayer life? What are you going to do about it? Father, now in the quietness of these moments, we make our commitment to you. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, the lover of our souls. Amen.